for a visit.
May all beings of the world, may all beings of the world have fresh clean water to drink. May all beings of the world, may all beings of the world have food and a home. May all beings of the world have someone to share love with. May all beings of the world
afternoon, good evening, my dear friends, fans, colleagues, no matter where you are and when you're listening, welcome back to Voices of the Sacred Feminine, which is the longest running Sacred Feminine podcast out there. This show has been airing since, wait for it, 2009. And if I crunch the numbers accurately, I think that's about 15 years. That's pretty darn cool. And a friend of mine recently said, well, do you tell people that you're the longest running Sacred Feminine podcast? And I said, well, not exactly. And she said, well, you ought to. So here we go. You're the first audience to hear that as part of my official intro. So anyway, dear friends and fans, thank you for tuning in. Your listener loyalty means an awful lot to me, and sharing news of the podcast to your friends, posting it around is greatly appreciated. There's an awful lot of competition out there these days. Believe it or not, when we started, we were called Internet Radio. I don't know, I think that's kind of quaint now. And I don't think we were actually called a podcast back then, at least not to my memory. But anyway, things move on, and it is really amazing, the incredible interviews in the archives. I would say 98% of them are just as relevant today as they were over the past years, because things have not changed a lot for women in the sacred feminine arena. I mean, I think there are more women out there who are aware of Goddess, maybe jumping on that bandwagon. You know, they are now under the Sacred Feminine umbrella. But patriarchy is still out there, and as ferocious as ever, maybe even worse in some ways, as I think it hopefully maybe dissolves and dies, so that women can have a better quality of life, so that more of us can have a better quality of life. But, it's kicking and screaming. It's not going to go away easily. So, a lot of the topics we've been sharing about manifesting a new normal and, all the reasons Goddess is important to women and, all of those interviews in the archives, I would encourage you to go have a listen. And also some of our foremothers and way showers, women and men, some of them are no longer with us, but their voices, their wisdom live on here at Voices of the Sacred Feminine. And it is still my guilty pleasure to be your hostess here. I love chatting with great guests. They broaden my horizons, they stoke my intellectual curiosity, they keep life interesting. And today's guest is no different. Today we have Corinna Wood with us, and she's a visionary teacher of women's wisdom for over three decades. She's a beloved leader in the holistic healing community. You may know her from the 20 years she ran Red Moon Herbs, or from the wildly popular event she founded and directed for 15 years, the Southeast Wise Women Herbal Conference, the biggest herbal event ever. And now she's pioneering an earth-based, woman-centered approach to communication and the psyche, and she is calling in from North Carolina. So Corinna Wood, welcome to Voices of the Sacred Feminine.
Hello, Karen. So glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, I'm so glad to have you, and, you know, it's always amazing to me. I mean, you've been at this 30 years. I've been at this that many years, and how did we not know about each other, you know? I mean, I know we were on opposite ends of the country, but,
I'm so thrilled that Karen Moon connected us.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Divine Feminine app, I know what a struggle it is for her to keep it going, because it costs money. It is really connecting us across the country and across the globe in ways that nothing else can, because, you know, we don't know each other or out there.
Yeah, and I'm so excited to talk with you about this subject around spiritual bypassing, because since you introduced us, I've been so delighted to see that you're also writing and thinking about this, and I just love that you're bringing this awareness forward as well. It's just such an important issue for women today.
For listeners out there who maybe didn't see the publicity, we're going to be talking about spiritual bypassing and toxic positivity. And, I started out in goddess spirituality thinking about it as history, mythology, archaeology, and it soon transitioned into social justice and women's psychology and, values to change the world and how we can transform ourselves and be better humans. So topics like this, for our spiritual health, our emotional health, I think they're so important because, I remember when I started, were you aware of Phyllis Chesler's book, A Woman's Inhumanity to Woman, by any chance?
You have to tell me the title again.
Woman's Inhumanity to Woman.
Yeah, the author's name is familiar, but I don't think I'm familiar with that book. It's ringing a little bell with the author's name, but tell me
more. She is a feminist psychologist, and her mission in life was to help elevate women. And, you know, she sort of addressed the elephant in the living room. And I don't think spiritual bypass was a thing, you know, when she wrote this book more than 30 years ago. But, you know, she addressed, the fact that, you know, women are wounded in patriarchy. Not that it's only women who spiritually bypass. I mean, men obviously do too. Mm-hmm. We all do. She stuck her neck out and really talked about women who, you know, maybe don't have healthy boundaries, that, you know, maybe aren't emotionally healthy, and how it affects our relationship. And a lot of it has to do with the conditioning and everything we suffer in patriarchy, or what we learn in church, or what our families teach us, you know, bad ideas or beliefs or habits.
I'm excited to look up her book. I just so appreciate the shoulders of, you know, all the women who have gone before us in this work and on whose shoulders I'm standing, we're standing, and so appreciate all that you've been doing all these decades, Karen.
Well, ditto. back at you, and in your background, you know, yours is in holistic healing. So tell us a little bit about that, and then I'd like you to define spiritual bypassing, because, you know, I don't think everybody, you know, everybody out there actually knows what it is quite yet.
Yeah. So my background in holistic healing, as a child, really my source of solace was nature. And so when I came of age and recognized the need for healing on various levels, it was natural for me to turn to nature and to herbs. I actually turned down Ivy League colleges to forge a healing path and follow my heart with my work around women and the earth. And I, for decades, have been teaching women's wisdom and holistic healing, as well as herbal medicine. And over time, as I recognized that I was repeating old patterns where I was caught in painful and confusing relationships based in old mistaken beliefs from childhood trauma and sexual abuse, I decided I needed to go deeper and set out on a quest to go to the roots of healing, like really wanting to understand how to support the herbal actions from the inside out and what does the nitty-gritty of self-love really look like, and how were my old beliefs formed, and how do I update them in a happy, healthy way. And so I turned the lens of my work as a naturalist and an herbalist in the wise woman ways to inner growth healing, to heart and soul healing, and synthesized a lot of principles from feminist psychology, nonviolent communication, through the eyes of a naturalist in the wise woman ways. And I developed a system for heart and soul healing for women that is based in the cycles of nature and valuing yourself as a woman. So that's the primary focus now of my life's work and teaching and writing, kind of bringing together this holistic women's wisdom.
Well, you know, what you're doing, Corinna, is so vital, you know. And I think I started to realize just how vital this is. I mean, I was always into social justice, but I feel like it, I didn't realize how many of us wear blinders, you know, and that there's so much, maybe especially in our own lives, that we don't want to look at. Because it's not easy, but if we don't look at
it's not
it,
easy.
I mean, if we don't look at it, then we don't heal from it. We maybe still keep making bad choices, choosing bad friends, you know, making mistakes in our relationships, things like that. And I wonder if when you started this, did you feel a resistance? You know, did you... you know, how did you find the women that were ready to take the plunge, you know, and sort of separate those from the ones that still, you know, weren't ready to, you know, look at the shadow or, you know, do the deep dive and, you know, and you look at the uncomfortable stuff, you know?
Yeah. Well, what I found, I mean, I was amazed when I started incorporating these inward aspects into my teaching to see the results that were reflected in the lives of the women around me as they had in my own. I mean, my story, I was struggling with stress-induced illnesses, painful relationships, and the effects of complex trauma are long-lasting. And then to be able to see that happening for other women, and in very, you know, their own very specific circumstances, whether it was with their job or with problem they had with the neighbor in their apartment up above, or all kinds of different situations. And there certainly are, speaking to what you're suggesting, I've certainly seen that there are women who are like, no, this is just not where I am at this time. And I also really respect that. And I know that there were years where I certainly wasn't ready or able or willing to hear another perspective. And that's just part of, you know, the self-acceptance and the acceptance of one another in the process of healing, that we're ready for what we're ready for when we are.
Yeah. It unfortunately, though, I think, when we encounter, sisters or brothers even who haven't done any work on themselves, it can kind of put us in a trick bag, where we could end up getting caught up in, in a relationship that maybe turns out to be toxic and isn't even good for us, right?
Yeah, and certainly the clarity of our own boundaries and the choices that we make in the level of intimacy that we engage with the various people in our lives is a really important part of emotional healing.
So do you find that with the women you've worked with that, maybe because of patriarchy or their, religious background, if they come from fundamentalist Christianity or something like that, they really have a hard time setting healthy boundaries, and which I think leads into the topic of spiritual bypassing. And I want you to give a definition of that. But do you think that that's part of it?
Certainly. I very much resonate that difficulty with creating healthy boundaries for ourselves. It's just part of this whole ingrained system that we're in, as you're saying, with the patriarchy, where we are enmeshed in the devaluing of women and messages to deny our feelings and our needs, which does bring us to, the definition of spiritual bypassing, or a definition. It is sometimes hard to get your head around because it's so ingrained in our thinking, even not only in mainstream, but in a lot of alternative culture. So, spiritual bypassing involves using spiritual explanations to dismiss or avoid difficult emotions or complex psychological issues. So it's a defense mechanism to bypass facing unresolved emotions or wounds. And John Wellwood came up with the term, as I imagine you know, in 1984, after noting that some people who resorted to spirituality to avoid painful emotions tended to suppress aspects of their identity and needs and stall their emotional development.
Yeah, I think, just to give, do you have some examples you can give to sort of, put it in, maybe relevant terms, that people could, maybe grasp some examples and go, oh, that's what they mean.
One that pops to mind first is the use of affirmations. So when I first tried working with affirmations, when I discovered this in my 20s, I found myself frustrated and confused because, you know, I couldn't, like, achieve happiness just by telling myself I'm happy and light and free. And then I was like, oh, no, is there something wrong with me? Like, what's the matter? This is supposed to make me feel good. You know, I'm doing it wrong. And so then I was unwittingly reinforcing old, unconscious, painful beliefs about myself. And I'm actually not saying that you shouldn't use affirmations ever, because I do actually think that with a prudent use, that they can be very helpful. So, for example, I love the way that Bella Ruth Napperstek, in her affirmations, she uses the phrase more and more at the end a lot. So that's one way that you can qualify to, like, support your brain actually being able to believe the affirmation. So you might be like, I'm feeling happy more and more, or I'm getting happier more and more. Or another trick that I teach my students is to step back to a smaller step, because if you have an old belief inside that, you know, something's wrong with you and, like, life is hard because of, you know, all the things that happened in childhood or whatever, to jump all the way to I'm happy and light and free is going to be a stretch for your internal belief system to believe right away. So starting, even, like, students love this, just starting with I am. And then maybe, like, I have a right to be here. I am Karen, you know. I am Karina. So you're just taking smaller steps before jumping so far.
Yeah, because if we say these affirmations that we really don't believe, it's really kind of a, oh, I hate to say a waste of time, but it's probably more effective if we, you know, and it's more believable to our brain if we ease into it. Yes, I'm getting happier, you know, or like you said, you know,
yeah,
more and more every
yeah
day, you know, more and more mm-hmm I feel grateful, or, you know, something,
mm-hmm,
something like that. Well, you know, a couple of examples
mm-hmm
that I've experienced lately, in fact, it was inspiration
mm-hmm
for some of my last newsletters, was, you know, I would run into women who, you know, weren't emotionally, you know, they didn't have healthy boundaries, you know, they weren't emotionally strong yet. So if someone would, you know, do something thoughtless or, you know, violate them in some way, you know, a lie, a betrayal, whatever it was,
mm-hmm,
they would just, you know, want to love bomb them or throw loving compassion mm-hmm at them. And,
mm-hmm,
you know, and I did some research on that, and psychologists say, you know, that's really not the best thing to do. You know, they're
mm-hmm
spiritually bypassing because they
mm-hmm
can't really address the problem. So it makes them feel
mm-hmm
better to say, well, let's, you know, that person deserves our love. That person deserves our compassion. Well, you know,
yeah,
I don't know, maybe not. You know, sometimes there's overly tolerant love and compassion. And that, you know, and the psychologist was saying that weakens our boundaries when we just, every
mm-hmm
time somebody does that to us,
mm-hmm
we just throw love and compassion at it. Or
mm-hmm
one of my recent newsletters was how some women really have a problem with, you know, anger. And they feel shame or guilt or discomfort expressing anger. 'Cause,
mm-hmm
I mean,
mm-hmm
look, I grew up in the South. You're in the South. We
mm-hmm
were taught,
yeah,
we're supposed to be nice and polite and just kind of endure
mm-hmm
almost everything.
mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they may even demonize other women who feel more comfortable with anger simply because anger makes them feel uncomfortable. I think those are maybe two other examples of of spiritual bypassing.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, I think those touch on, I have a list of six problems of spiritual bypassing. And so the first being glossing over difficult emotions. The second, silencing the voices of survivors. And the third, excusing the abuse. And I think what you were just speaking to, you know, really weaves with all of those.
Yeah, and we need to be aware that we're doing that, because when we do this spiritual bypassing, we're in a way we're almost encouraging the abuser to do it again, and we're not flexing our own emotional muscles to get better at dealing with stuff like this, right?
Yeah, so like, for example, the common phrase is, you create your own reality, or everything happens for a reason, or the reason that came into your life is to teach you a lesson. It's like, those are some examples of the spiritualizing these explanations, which are actually unwittingly reinforcing self-blame, that it's your fault. And so rather than recognizing the multiple factors that contributed to the painful experiences or difficult emotions, like, yes, we co-create our reality, and yes, we have a role, certainly, of our agency and autonomy in our lives, and there are also societal factors, and there are choices that others in your life have made. You know, so instead of, you know, when we're looking through that, the reason it came here is to teach you a lesson, it supports the patriarchal systems in place for victims of abuse to blame themselves rather than holding the perpetrators responsible and recognizing the societal nature, the systemic nature of the oppression that's underlying the fabric of today's world, including how that contributes to the perpetrators themselves, you know, perpetrating this violence.
Right, right. And, you know, and we're not just talking about, you know, men doing it to women either. You know, which is the reason I brought up Phyllis Chesler's book, you know, Women's Inhumanity to Women, because, you know, I think women are really good at this, and maybe even better than men, because, you know, women who have been brought up not to express anger, not to be assertive, they resort to this, you know, or they talk in flowery language, or they whisper, or, you know, most recently I wrote about white women's tears, and,
I just thought about that.
I mean, and sometimes I know that's used as a racist ploy, but, you know, it can be used in almost any circumstance to, it's like the damsel in distress, you know, to get their way, use sympathy to leverage, you know, rather than actually solving a problem and going through the uncomfortable emotions of, you know, of doing that.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're so right on with all of that, and with how this is a form of internalized oppression, which we also are promoting in the ways that we carry it on. And it, you know, there, it's like the chicken and the egg, with the root of we've been told by our society, even in the mainstream stuff, like not to feel, that we shouldn't be so emotional. You know, we're criticized for our strong emotions, or certainly, as you're saying, for our anger. And so then we try to bypass, you know, to skip over that emotion, and spiritual systems are out there, you know, out there are such opportunities, you know, it's like so inviting to, oh, okay, we'll just bypass that anger, we'll bypass that fear, and we'll just focus on the light. And so it, you know, it's very appealing because of the societal disconnect that we have with our own feelings and, in turn, underlying needs.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, as women, we're told to be nice, you know, don't make waves, you know, go along to get along, even if in the process, you know, you're having, you know, somebody wants you to be a doormat, or continuing to take, you know, poor treatment, you know. And anyway, well, you know, we're going to take a break, and I want to come back and talk a bit about toxic positivity. And, you know, we'll delve into all of this a little bit more, and, you know, and of course, get into the healing process, too, of, you know, maybe how we can get past this so we don't victimize each other, which, I don't know, I kind of think that's, that word has a lot of negative connotation to it, you know, because sometimes we are victimized, and, you know, and, and I think there's shame's been attached to that. But we'll come back and chat about that in just a minute after we hear from Joe Carson.
This is from Jonathan Nightshade, a Gardnerian high priest of the Whitecroft line, a traditional craft practitioner and researcher, writing about Joe Carson's book, Celebrate Wildness, Magic, Mirth, and Love on the Ferroferia Path. I love this book, how special this work is and how appreciated. As someone who was young in the 1970s and through the years only found snippets of information on Ferroferia, one of the first modern pagan paths, this book comes as an artistic revelation of the core practices of the way of the goddess and gods reborn for the next age of the divine maiden. She has clearly introduced the historical background, philosophy, and ritual practices of the joyous wilderness mysteries of the fairy faith, illuminated by the marvelous pagan art of Ferroferia's founder, Fred Adams. I was very pleased that the high-quality production of this oversized volume makes it a collectible work of art, as well as a testament to the visionary philosophy of Fred Adams. I feel blessed that I received a copy. I will treasure it and look forward to the next book for more of the deep philosophy and ritual practice of Ferroferia.
Celebrate Wildness is a dense, art book quality hardcover book. You can get it for just $45 from the Ferroferia website at ferroferia.org. That's ferraferia.org.
Well, ladies, mark your calendars for a journey of transformation and sisterhood at the Renewal Women's Retreat from May 30th to June 3rd at the Serene Sunny Valley Resort in Southern Oregon. It's your time to embrace your power, connect with nature, and heal in unity. You can experience a haven where women of all races, heritage, and beliefs come together to forge an unbreakable bond of sisterhood. Through a blend of nature, nurture, and empowering workshops, rediscover your strength, renew your spirit, and rejoice in the diversity that makes us all unique. Don't miss this opportunity to be part of a transformative experience. Join the Renewal Women's Retreat at Sunny Valley Resort and let the journey of renewal begin. For more details, visit their website, sanaohana.com/about3. And I'm going to spell that for you in a minute. I'll just do it now. sanaohana.com/about-3. Or reach out to Kat Bostwick, one of the organizers, at 501-940-0649. Spaces are limited, so reserve your spot today. The Renewal Women's Retreat, where your journey to renewal awaits. And one last thing before we get back to our guest, Corinna Wood, talking about spiritual bypassing and toxic positivity today, why that's all important and how to heal from it. I want to tell you about this incredible authentic evidential medium. She does Akashic record readings where you can learn about your purpose or past lives. You can even engage her for a one-on-one session as an awakening life coach. And this person I'm talking about is Melody Rosecrans at Invoke and Raw is the name of her business, her mediumship business. And I had an absolutely amazing time with her. I will be honest and say this is not the kind of thing I put a whole lot of credence in, but Melody really sort of changed my whole opinion about this. I think she is the real deal. Anyway, she will ignite your awakening, and she's received other great reviews too. One client said, yes, she's amazing. Her classes are informative, genuine, eye and heart openers, toward true spirituality. Her one-on-one sessions, she makes you very comfortable, and people have said that she makes them feel well taken care of. And what really sort of touched my heart was the reading she gave this particular woman, who really sort of validated for her that her mother, who had passed over, she felt like after the session that her mom approved of her recent decisions and was watching over her. So if you're into this sort of thing, or you maybe just want to try it out, you're curious, you can connect with Melody in person or via Zoom, if you're not in Southern Oregon where she lives. And you can find her at the website invokeandra.com. That's invokeandra.com. Or you can give her a call, 541-291-1240, to schedule an appointment or questions. Get in touch with her today and find out what she does and if it's something you want to maybe experience yourself. Okay, so we're back to my conversation with Corinna Wood. So, Corinna, I think we were about to start talking about toxic positivity. You want to tell listeners more about what that actually is?
Yeah, so toxic positivity is a form of spiritual bypassing. It can take other forms as well, suppressing needs, denying racism in favor of oneness, trying to mask inferiority with illusions of spiritual superiority. So those are like other forms that spiritual bypassing can take, toxic positivity and unfounded optimism being one form of spiritual bypassing. So examples of toxic positivity that are things we hear commonly might be like, don't be so emotional, be positive, smile and be nice, just think good thoughts, or even like embrace your sacred feminine to move past your anger. So instead, we would be, there's other ways to look at that. And I know that you're right there with me, Karen, that embracing the sacred feminine is all parts of our emotional experience. And so for authentic healing instead, with that one, for example, you can tell yourself, I'm not going to be boxed into being soft and submissive. All of my emotions are part of my sacred experiences as a woman.
Yeah. So in
Go
ahead. Well, you know, I was just going to say.
That's fine, and then I'll come back to it.
Yeah, we force this toxic positivity on each other, I think, simply because we don't want to be bothered, you know, hearing someone's turmoil. Or, you know, a psychologist told me, they said, well, you know, if it happened to you, it might happen to them. So it's like when people don't want to talk about cancer, for instance, as if they might catch it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they don't want to hear anything negative because it, you know, it might, I don't know, somehow inflict them some sort of way.
Yeah, and bring up difficult emotions, which is kind of at the crux of this. So yeah, what I was going to say, in a nutshell, how I see this toxic positivity, you could say, within the context of spiritual bypassing, which really is one of the main ways that spiritual bypassing shows up, is this disconnecting from your feeling, that also means disconnecting from a key source of your inner guidance. You know, our feelings, as has been recognized in nonviolent communication and various fields of psychology, our feelings guide us and point us to our underlying needs. And as women, we're socialized to put the needs of others before our own. And then we're criticized for being so emotional when we're having natural, normal emotional responses of sadness or fear or anger because we're having unmet needs around safety or respect or valuing. So we really need to reconnect with those innate underlying needs, and the spiritual bypassing instead just allows us a way to jump over those strong emotions when we have this guidance system, that the feelings are actually guideposts toward our underlying needs, which are what that supports our thriving.
Yeah. Well, and I think, too, when we deny these feelings, we can turn them inward. I mean, it can turn into depression or self-harm. You know, and if we create this pattern of never employing self-care, I mean, that's just a recipe for disaster. I mean, how are you going to have a happy life if that's how you handle everything, right?
Right.
Yeah. You know, so what are some of the techniques you use with your clients, you know, at your retreats and things to help women get past the bypassing and sort of get on a road to healing and recovery from the trauma that no doubt lives in their bodies because maybe they've been doing this, you know, for years?
Yeah, so I do work with women in reconnecting with your feelings and your underlying needs, and including recognizing the ways that our innate human needs, which have been identified in various fields of psychology, they can actually, I've reorganized them to overlay with the cycles of nature, and in this way that supports women in recognizing how natural and normal this is, because we've been criticized for being, you know, too needy, or it's selfish to focus on your needs. But when, like, the group at the bottom of my Wise Woman Needs Wheel lines up with the winter solstice and the dark moon, and that would be your needs for rest. And then there's a group of needs related to respect, valuing, and then up at the top with the full moon and the summer solstice is a group of needs around contribution and self-expression. And it's actually one of the ways that we bust the myth that connecting with your needs would be selfish, because actually when your needs are met for rest and safety and respect and valuing, then we also have this need that is an innate human need to contribute to the world, you know, to make the world a better place, the need to support others. And so it's like, no, actually, when you're turning attention to your needs, you're going to also naturally want to overflow to contributing to the world. So that is a helpful mind shift a lot of times for women, to recognize that it's natural and normal to embrace your needs, and that it supports you thriving, and it also supports those around you and you giving your greatest gifts to the world.
Well, that's really insightful.
So it really
is
about embracing.
I hadn't really thought about that. Yeah. And you know, I hadn't really thought about that. When you feel like your needs are met and you're no longer spiritual bypassing, and you're in these, and you're denying these negative emotions or these toxic or unhealthy emotions, then you have more to give other people. But when you're in that, having your own internal trauma and struggle, I guess it makes sense that you don't have anything for anybody else. That, you know, maybe that's when you tell somebody else, well, gee, your problem's not so bad. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, so you can give from a replenished place of your cup flown over rather than a place of depletion.
Right. And you know, and going back to that idea of the word victim, I mean, do you agree or disagree that, you know, the word seems to have a lot of negative connotation? I mean, it's like, you know, people don't want to say, well, I was victimized by somebody. Yes, I was a victim. But it's almost as if you say that, I don't know, I'm trying to language it, and maybe you can help me. It's like you're not supposed to say that for some reason, you know, but it's like admitting a failure, but yet that's victimizing the victim, it seems like to me.
Speak to the other four or three other symptoms that I mentioned, or problems that as I've been thinking through the issues with spiritual bypassing. So number four being trying to forgive and forget prematurely. Five, putting smoke and mirrors around painful relationships. And six, dressing up the same old patriarchal patterns in new clothes. I think there's a lot there where, I mean, just to speak a little of the smoke and mirrors around painful relationships, because you've been, you know, mentioning some women that in your life that seem to be in some confusion around that those inadvertent reenactments in adult relationships are all too common, and it has been recognized in psychotherapy. And out of a genuine deep psychological confusion, and I can attest to this myself, you know, survivors of childhood abuse will sometimes use spiritual concepts to mask their own reenactment of past abuse within adult relationships, creating a downward spiral, keeping you ensnared in pain. So if you, you know, find yourself struggling through painful relationships by just saying things like love conquers all, or relationships are hard work, or just love harder. Yes, relationships are hard. Commitment, focus on communication, and healthy relationships also feel like the wind beneath your wings, supporting the needs of both people.
Yeah.
So those messages can be used to glorify difficult, toxic, or even abusive relationships.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's really important to find compatible relationships that don't require that you do so many of the things you've described. Corinna, you've mentioned a lot of really great examples. Where can someone learn more about these examples of spiritual bypassing? Do you have anything on newsletters, websites? Where can someone learn more? Have you written a book yet about this?
Yeah, thanks. I teach a course that's available online that is called Speaking Your Truth, The Wise Woman Way, on 4 steps to authentic communication for connection and healing, where we work with expressing your true feelings and innate needs in a healthy, harmonious way that both respects yourself and the other person. And if you hop onto my website, and I know there's a link there, it's corinnawood.com. It's 1 R and 2 N, Corinna, wood.com. I have a free guide that you can grab on my website. It's what's called Creating a Space for Self-Healing. And that is really a first step that so many women find really valuable, is even just carving out a physical place, and it can be in your house. You might not have a room or all the quiet or privacy in your house. It can even be a place in the park under a favorite tree that you go to, or a spot that you go park your cars because you love the looking over the view, and you take out, a little few sacred things to really reconnect with yourself, and, maybe with a journal or some music. So it is really about creating that space for yourself. And even when I teach communication, The Wise Woman Way, it's very much about embracing your own feelings and needs, and really reflecting on some of these underlying beliefs that inform the choices that you make and how you relate, so that you're really taking responsibility for yourself and for your needs and for your choices. And it's amazing to watch women, because it's a course for women. And so even women who are using it in their relationship with their husband, have, without him taking that same training, have found that they are able to speak in a way that's just easier to be heard and understood, and that they're having so much deeper and, just feeling more heard in their connections with loved ones.
Well, can you maybe share an example of translating, say, a common spiritual bypass comment to one that maybe supports a more healing outcome?
Yeah, I'm actually having a little bit of a hard time understanding. Something might be happening with my little bit here. And I guess I'm just going to, I know that we're almost at time. So, yeah, I just want to wrap up by saying thank you so much, Karen, for this conversation. It's, let me actually say it this way. I feel really grateful and just a sense of calm around the needs that I have, that we all have, for shared reality. Like, this has met some needs for me, for shared reality and to be heard and to be understood, and listening to you and feeling the resonance of what you've also discovered is just really nourishing for me. So I really appreciate this, and it really inspires me to continue this work in the world with women. It's just been such a powerful experience to watch women's lives transforming as we take responsibility for ourselves and reconnect with our feelings, our needs, and our embodiment. You know, I look at it as spiritual embodiment rather than spiritual bypassing. So, like, being fully present in your body, tuning into the shift of your body, embracing all that your body is. We're so often, as women, you know, disconnected from our bodies because of all of the messaging out there and the separation too of body and spirit that both mainstream and alternative sensibilities push us toward. Yet we as women know and experience the sacred within our bodies, and that includes the spiral of light and dark, just as we spiral through light and dark in day and night, in dark moon to full moon, in winter to summer, in all those natural cycles. And it may not always feel easy or appear pretty, especially on those hard days and nights when your body pulls you down through menstrual cramps or hot flashes or menopausal mood swings or the other deep and difficult times that many women walk through. So through those embodied experiences, as raw as they might be, you connect with the core of who you are, and your sacred body is home to your inner knowing. So I think I'll just leave on that note, and thank you again so much for having me, Karen.
Okay. Thank you for being here, Corinna, and I'm sorry if you started having trouble hearing me, but we heard you completely, and I'm sure listeners have gleaned a lot of wisdom from what you were able to share. And I'll mention her website again, CorinnaWood.com. That's C-O-R-I-N-N-A Wood.com. Corinna with one R and two N's, as she said. So please go check it out. It sounds like she's got a lot of great stuff on her website that will reiterate or support what we've discussed here in the interview. And just so you'll know, next week my guest is going to be Dr. Carla Ionescu, and we're going to be talking about the goddess Artemis, and the topic of the show is She Who Hunts, Artemis, the Goddess Who Changed the World. And I'm really looking forward to that. And there's another interview coming up in April that I really want to underline in red and put stars around. Esther Nelson is going to be with me, and we're going to be talking about the hijab, the scarf that Islamic women or I guess I should, you know, just come out and say, you know, I think the proper word is forced to wear. She's going to be talking about the idea of, you know, women's, you know, do women have to wear the hijab because it comes from the word of God or the word of man? We're also going to be talking about female genital mutilation and the topic of being apolitical, because this all ties in together. It really, really does. So anyway, if you haven't already hit the subscribe button at Blog Talk, please do, so you don't miss any of these great upcoming interviews. And, you know, I think that about does it for me for today. So thank you, Corinna, for being with me. Thank you for suggesting the topic and for the information you shared with listeners. And as we usually do, close out the show with an homage to Sekhmet, the lion-headed Egyptian goddess, who teaches women to say no without guilt and shame and to have healthy boundaries. That's what we're going to do again today. So Sekhmet, Sa Sekhem Sahu.